You recognize that all across the nation today, there are churches observing Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Now, we as a church family do this every year. Let me set the stage for what we're going to do. I've always talked about the sanctity of life. We deal with that on this particular Sunday, but you recognize we deal with this as a church family at other times as well. So this is not an issue that we're afraid to discuss. This is not an issue that we're afraid to be a part of helping. We want to be a part of the solution. I've always sought to stress the importance of understanding the spectrum related to the sanctity of life. So together as a church family, we've talked about not only abortion, which is obviously a big deal, but issues related to how we respond to other situations that are part of this particular subject too. Things like the issue of immigration, crisis pregnancy situations, challenges regarding healthcare. We've said before, it really shouldn't be your insurance company's decision, the kind of treatment you receive. That's a sanctity of life issue. It really is. And challenges regarding healthcare, obviously, as well as the culture's view of the elderly. Our church has a solid track record of helping with the Liberty Women's Clinic. We give to the clinic often, and many of our members have been involved in helping the ministry there in an ongoing fashion throughout the year. This morning, however, I wanted our focus to be on the other end of the pro-life spectrum. So let me pause and just remind you that at the conclusion of our worship together this morning, the ushers will be at the back door to receive our regular offering. But anything that you mark life, whether that's a check or you put that in an envelope, if you mark life on your envelope or on the check, that will be split between the Liberty Women's Clinic and the ministry that we're highlighting today, and that's Baptist Homes and Healthcare Ministries. So let me set the stage by reading one verse of Scripture. This will remind us why we do what we do in this regard, and it's Psalm 71, verse 9, where the Bible says as follows, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." So let me introduce our speakers to you today. This is going to be Dr. Rodney Harrison and Dr. David Sundin, and I'm going to ask them to come this morning here to the front and share the platform with me, and we're going to talk about issues related to the sanctity of life, in particular with their ministries, with the Baptist Home and Healthcare Ministries. So you guys come on up and have a seat. We'll act like we have coffee and there's a fireplace behind me, okay? So first of all, we'll try that again. This is Dr. Rodney Harrison, Dr. David Sundin.
Don't cast bad looks at the sound.
Yeah, no, I'm not giving them a bad look. I'm just trying to see if I need to do something different. Okay, I'm okay, because I'm not wearing a sweater today. I wore a sweater one time, and it was like, you know, the apocalypse was about to hit or something. So anyway, again, this is Dr. Rodney Harrison, Dr. David Sundin, and I want them to share their role with us related to the Baptist Home. So tell our church family just a little bit about yourselves, your position with Baptist Homes, and then what brought you there, and anything else that you think would be pertinent information.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dr. Parker. First of all, of course, as a member of the church, it is a great joy to be able to be here on Sanctity of Life Sunday. My journey, really, in the what we would call the latter spectrum of sanctity of life began when I was 17 years old. My mother and I actually attended a course at the College of the Sequoias back in California, basically to equip us and prepare us to be activity directors. This is a common position in long-term care, and so I took that class really not knowing what God was going to do. A year later, I found myself not in California, but in northern Minnesota, and in need of a job. And the only job I could get was in long-term care. I think as I've shared previously, you immediately realize that as an orderly, you get the least pay and do the most work. LPNs help you and get more pay. RNs do nothing but sit at a desk and get the most pay. So, you know, that
can convinced... Do we have any RNs in the room this morning before we go on? Okay.
Yeah, and plus that's not the whole story. Okay. So that just really reinforced the fact that I needed to continue my education. I ended up getting a nursing degree and becoming an RN, and by design decided to go into long-term care. And so I started my first job, immediately realized RNs do all the work, get the least pay, directors of nurses get more pay and do less work, and then the administrators do nothing but sit at a desk and get the most pay.
So
I'm just glad you didn't mention preachers this morning, because you know, cutting down to one service on a Sunday, you know what I mean? There might be some talk. I'm just saying.
So at that point, ended up going to Dallas Baptist University, where they had a healthcare administration program. And it was also a time where I was sensing a call to ministry and not really sure what that would look like. Completed that degree, stayed in the Fort Worth area, went to Southwestern Seminary, and then ended up back in northern Minnesota being what they call a tent maker, planning churches and working in healthcare, letting that be the platform for being able to be in churches where maybe the Home Mission Board would never have funding to be able to support a church planter. So we had a really exciting time, and sometimes challenging, but sometimes very blessed. I thank the Lord for those days up through about 1992, when I ended up going full-time with our Home Mission Board, now North American Mission Board. I really thought that would be the end of my healthcare career. But back in 2019, the chairman of the Baptist Homes and Healthcare Ministries Board of Trustees, he contacted me about serving as first interim president of the organization. And it was during that time as interim president, the Lord's call became very clear that this was going to be the next step of faith in our life, to be a part of an organization that for almost 20 years had been separated from Missouri Baptist Convention, and by God's grace and providence had been restored as an entity of the convention. And so now for almost 2 years, I've had the privilege of serving as president of Baptist Homes and Healthcare.
Very good. That's awesome. Thank you. Dr. Sundin.
Well, I don't have any experience in healthcare. All right. I just chuckle at that all the time, you know, how God works. But I knew from an early age I was going to be in the ministry, and always just assumed that that was going to be pastoral ministry. And that's what I studied for. You know, I got my bachelor's and master's in theology, and I was pastoring churches, and mostly I was doing church planting in Minnesota. And that's where Dr. Harrison and I first started crossing paths, because I was in the southern part of the state planting churches. He was in the northern part of the state planting churches. And so we knew of each other a lot, but we hadn't really met each other. But we had, we knew a lot about each other. Later on, I started doing denominational work. I was a director of missions for 9 years in the same association where Harrison was. Now, the reason I'm not trying to just brag on Harrison, but you got to understand that. So I would go all over my association, and everyone's talking about, oh, yeah, Harrison this and Harrison that. And it's like, oh, yeah, all right. You know, he planted this, he planted that. So I could see his fingerprints all over. So I had this real strong respect for him. Later on, I was doing my doctoral work, and, I was striking out, okay? You know, I got done with all classes, never did my dissertation, and Harrison came to our convention. And it's like, wow, you're Rodney Harrison, though. You know, you're David Sundin. And he convinced me to get back into school. So I came to Midwestern, got my doctorate there. And then Harrison and I started going to Sturgis together. So you're starting to see this tie with Harrison, okay? And then he called me and asked me if I would come and direct the online program at Midwestern Seminary. And I go, I've never done anything. I haven't been in that kind of education before. He goes, that's okay. You'll get it. And so I came to Midwestern, and I was the dean of online studies. I'm no longer the dean of online studies. I finished that in August. But 8 years doing that, went into the situation not really knowing what to do, but just figuring it out, and with the encouragement from Dr. Harrison all the time. And so I really loved working with him. And then all of a sudden, he decided to run off and go to, Baptist Homes. Mm-hmm. And he left me at Midwestern. Mm-hmm. And please understand that when I get together in a room with Dr. Harrison and we start dreaming, we start thinking about things, it's just like we come out of that room and it's like God has spoken to us, and we kind of, and I was missing that. Mm. So then a little bit later, he calls me and says, hey, we're going to be starting the hospice program with Baptist Homes. I want you to come and start our hospices. But Rodney, I don't know anything about healthcare. That's okay. You're a church planter. You know how to start things. Mm. And so he convinced me
that I should do this. But the thing that was so strong is the fact that I knew that in the past I had worked with Harrison, and I knew that God blessed. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of the things that said, okay, I can move out of my safety zone, my comfort zone, mm-hmm. And move into this new venture because of my past experience with mm-hmm. him, and it's been really good.
That's cool. Both of these guys, and I didn't say this, but I think you guys had said something about both of these guys you recognize are members of our church, which is really cool. It worked out that way, and that's mm-hmm. been great. And so we're grateful to have them. And I love the fact, the experiences that you guys bring to the table, in a lot of ways, a path that would be, nobody could have charted that. I mean, that ultimately has to be a God kind of thing for it to play out the way that it played out. And I love the way things have gone at the Baptist home. And I, obviously that's due to great leadership. In fact, when you came to the Baptist home, how many campuses did we have?
We had three campuses and one that had been somewhat what we'd call stillborn.
Okay. So three campuses and one kind of in the works, but not really hadn't done much. How many campuses do we now have?
We now have seven campuses.
And how long have you been the president of Baptist Homes?
2 years.
2 years. So the joke became, because he didn't tell you this, but I'm the chairman of the board of trustees for the Baptist Homes. So we have this joke, running joke in our trustee meetings. Now I said, don't anybody go buy any vacant buildings with Rodney Harrison, because like he might buy them for the Baptist Homes and then we're gonna have another campus. But man, visionary leadership from both of these men, greatly appreciate that. Let me find out, give us just a brief history lesson in terms of how Baptist Homes came to be in the first place.
Baptist Homes had its earliest start in the heart and mind and vision of Milford Riggs. Milford was pastor of First Baptist Church Ironton. He was a graduate of Southern Seminary, had earned his doctorate there, was an author, and really a very proficient pastor who had a great burden for widows and orphans. And you have to put yourself back into that time frame of 1913. Many pastors had lost their children in the Civil War, and so they had no one to take care of them. And of course, Ironton, Missouri is kind of the hub of the Civil War. In fact, if you go to the Ironton area, if you go to Pilot Knob, that's where the Confederacy had their headquarters. If you go to Arcadia, 2 miles away, that's where the Union was. And so this was a battleground. This is a place where the Civil War impacted so many lives. And so you had many pastors and their widows who had no one to take care of them. And so he said, we need to do something. The church needs to do something. And so him and his wife, with much prayer, rented a home. And they soon filled that home up with pastors and their widows who needed care. Right at 100 years ago, they built what is today called the Riggs Scott Building. But they built a beautiful structure at that time, very much state-of-the-art. It actually brought electricity into the valley to be able to build that building and have the first elevator and things. Mm-hmm. And it was to be able to serve Missouri Baptists, who were at that point where they needed a little extra care. And at that time, it was truly a alternative to what was called the poorhouse. And so being able to provide dignified, compassionate, mm-hmm. Christ-like care has been at the heart of Baptist Homes since 1913.
Okay, so it's important, like, for context for us to understand, this predates what was going on with what now is Guidestone Financial Resources for the Southern Baptist Convention, where as a pastor like in my situation here serving this church, the church helps with retirement planning. That was kind of not on the radar back in those days. We also, as a church family, are involved in Mission Dignity for those who have pastored churches or been missionaries, et cetera, in places where they haven't been able to put anything or put much into retirement. So this was a tremendously significant need in particular at that time. So now we're a long way removed from the origin of Baptist Homes. So what is the mission of Baptist Homes and healthcare ministries then today? How would you describe that to us?
The mission continues to be driven by Psalm 71:9, which you read earlier today, a psalm that when we fully unpack it talks about really the journey of a lifetime and the desire to have meaning, worth, and dignity and value coupled with purpose. And so Psalm 71 has been our foundational verse from day one of Baptist Homes. And our mission really, a few years ago, we went through a process of asking the question, how do we articulate our mission, our vision, our values? Well, first of all, we are a sanctity of life organization, so we needed to incorporate that. And so our mission is to provide Christ-like ministry and care, education, and advocacy for the aging. Mm. And our vision is to really set the standard of care for the aging. And then that also allows us to expand our vision, which David will be able to talk to a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there anything else that, as far as like the correlation between what takes place at the Baptist home and the issue of the sanctity of life, is there anything else that we need to share related to that kind of connection?
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I love about our church, and it's something that we have done, I think, now three times since I've been a member, is in the Baptist Faith and Message, Article 15 talks about the sanctity of life from conception to natural birth. And so, you know, the sanctity of life is at the heart of what we're doing. And being able to go through that journey as people age. I just recently wrote an article that is in the pathway, and it was based upon Paul McCartney's song, When I'm 64. And if any of you, you know, remember that song, When I'm 64, he actually wrote that when he was 14 years old, and he was trying to envision what would life be like in 50 years. And he asked some questions that are really pertinent today. Will you still need me? Mm. Well, we are deeply rooted into a conviction that God has a purpose for every one of us.
Yes.
And at Baptist Homes, we may even have someone who has advanced dementia, or maybe they have other physical needs. And you're saying, well, what are they contributing to society? Well, for one thing, they are giving each one of us and the church an opportunity to show grace, mm-hmm. mercy, mm-hmm. love, compassionate love that is totally undeserved, as Christ demonstrated to us, an undeserved love, grace, and mercy towards us. And so that is part of the ministry of Baptist Homes, but also to help those who come, whether it's, you know, at the various levels of care, to be able to see there is purpose in life. Mm-hmm. We have residents who their ministries have started to unfold mm-hmm. once they've come to the Baptist Home, because you get some of the, you might say, the noise of life mm-hmm. kind of out of the equation. You're not having to worry about if the AC breaks down, you don't have to worry about where my next meal is coming from. And now they're able to focus on ministry. Mm-hmm. And what is it that God has for me? Because God, there is no expiration date on being a disciple.
Mm. There you go. I think that's an important point to be made, because a lot of the criticism that we Christians get related to sanctity of life, people will say, well, you care about the unborn, but you don't really care about people after they're actually born, or you don't care about helping a young lady through a crisis pregnancy situation, which we as a church family do, and we've made that abundantly clear. We also care about life throughout, even as you've noted, all the way to the end of life. That's an important sanctity of life issue. So we understand that a young baby is vitally important, but also so is an elderly person, regardless of what he or she can so-called contribute to society. The Bible says, we talk about this, you know, the Bible says there's a time to be born and a time to die. We feel like that should be left up to God. That's the issue. So tell us a little bit about the breadth of the Baptist Home ministry. Like, what are some things that are offered in terms of the ministry of Baptist Homes?
Okay. Well, first of all, in addition, we provide education and advocacy. So let me just start at the local church level. You know, many of us aren't really sure what to do when we get to that stage where we say, you know, do we need to take away the keys? You know, mom and dad, we notice that, you know, their car has dents all over it, or they're struggling with some of the activities of daily living. And we can help provide in the local church education and advocacy. We have 10 of our staff who are able to come into churches and lead conferences, to preach on Sundays, to be able to meet with senior groups. So the first thing that we do is provide education and advocacy. But when it talks about the breadth of the ministry on the campus level, we provide basically what they call a continuum of care at most of our campuses. That starts with independent living. That would be for the adult who simply is at a season in life where they don't want to have to really worry about anything other than if I want to go shopping, if I want to go to a movie, a show, but they don't have to worry about anything. It's independent living. Mm-hmm. Most of them still have their own cars and their own transportation, but they want to be in an environment where they know if something happens, there are staff and people present that can be there. Sometimes it's the children that are the advocates for that independent living. The next step is where we get into a little bit more care, and that is called assisted living. This is where someone might need assistance with one or more activities of daily living. Let's say just being able to, you know, maybe get dressed or taking their medication, remembering to eat, maybe care with things such as being able to do their treatments or something of that nature. But they just need one or more pieces of assistance. They're still mobile. They're still, you know, able to get around, but they do need a little bit more help. And that's called assisted living. And then we move up into the levels of nursing care, which is someone that will need a little bit more care. They're going to be needing 24-hour nursing care, observation. And so we provide what we call a continuum of care. So oftentimes someone will come into independent living, be there maybe even for a decade or more, but then they find themselves needing a little bit more care. It's kind of neat when you don't have to change your physical address, really. You can, you know, again, you're already with people that you know. And so we provide a continuum of care. And to that, we're expanding to areas like adult daycare and, of course, hospice, which is what David is leading now.
Okay, let's talk about the hospice care. This is a relatively new ministry for Baptist Homes and Healthcare Ministries. So first of all, I guess maybe explain kind of like what is that, and then how does that play out in terms of what the Baptist Homes is able to do with hospice care?
Okay, well, a lot of you already know what hospice care is because you've had parents or grandparents or spouses, and sometimes even children have been in hospice. But it's at the point where the doctors, as they're taking care of you and in consultation with you, they're saying, you know, there really is no more that we can do for you to cause you to become better and healed and get back. And so at that point, you know, that's a hard thing to do. I am a chaplain at KU Med, and I'm often called to go in to patients who they've told this to, and they're saying, we want you to go on comfort measures only. And a lot of times there's some guilt in there, like maybe I'm not fighting, or there's fear, whatever. But when hospice comes in, basically what it's saying is, I want to live out the rest of my life. I know that I'm not going to get better. I know that if this thing progresses at the normal rate, I will be home with Jesus in 6 months. Okay, so basically, and they can go in with hospice, and then of course there are government things that help. You've been paying in through your Social Security and your Medicare and all that, and they help. They do the expenses at that point. And so you go in there and you're able to still have nursing, you're able to age, all kinds of chaplaincy, all kinds of things that are still there, but they're no longer designed so to try to cause you to get better because you can't. And so what it's doing is it's trying to help you live out the rest of your life in a pain-free manner, in a way where you can, you know, end your life well. I like my Sunday school teacher. I don't see him here this morning, but Bob Kleinschmidt. He says, we shouldn't be saying, I have to die. You know, he says, we get to die. And for a Christian, we get the privilege of our last act of obedience before we go on to glory is our death. And so hospice there works with people like that. And in this, maybe a better place for it, but I'm just going to say it now. Mm-hmm. Baptist Homes for 109 years has been saying to people, come to us and we are going to take care of you for the rest of your life. Now that, I mean, that's awesome. Come to us and we will take care of you the rest of your life. But we're having an addition to that. We're not changing that. We still have, matter of fact, we're expanding. We're getting more nursing homes. We're getting more of the whole gamut. Mm-hmm. But now we're saying, not only can you come to us and we'll take care of you the rest of your life, but we can now go to you to take care of you the rest of your life. I remember I was sitting right over there with my wife and you were preaching and you had an illustration. And I can't remember the illustration so much.
I can't either, so don't worry about it.
But it's
okay.
But you were using the term home safe. Mm. And this was right at the time when we were considering, is this what God wants us to do? And it's like, home safe. Yes, that's what hospice is about. We want to be able to come into your home if you have somebody there who is on hospice. We want to be able to come in and make sure your home is safe and take care of you and provide for you what you need. Mm-hmm. But if you can't be home safe as Baptist Homes with our nursing homes around, there are places we can give you a new home where you can be safe. And so we've got that within our network. But ultimately, Dr. Parker, it is to have our people get home safe.
Home safe, yeah.
All right? And so this is, it's not just about providing care for someone who's dying. Mm-hmm. It's about being concerned about their eternal destiny. Mm-hmm. It's about being concerned about who they are, about them ending their life well and going on to their reward in heaven. And so Baptist Homes is moving into this hospice because we want to be there, not just if you can come to us, but we want to be able to go to you when you are at this time where we can help you in these areas to ensure that you get home safe.
Yeah. The beauty part in all that is it's distinctively Christian. I mean, hospice is a great thing regardless, but it's especially a great thing from the Jesus perspective, that we have the opportunity. When my dad was on hospice, the chaplain came out, nice guy, but he was kind of dancing around all the really important things. And finally I said, I knew the man, and I called him by name. I said, listen, man, my dad's a believer in Jesus. He knows where he's going. You can drop the God card. Like, you can go ahead and play that here in our living room. It's okay. And so I love the fact that with Baptist Homes having this kind of ministry, that we get to be overtly Christian about all of that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, we'd be sensitive about that.
Of course. There may be
some people that we are serving who just don't want to have anything to do with that.
Right.
It'll break our hearts, but we understand that.
But you're still there as a resource related to that.
Absolutely, and you just never know. Mm-hmm. You just never know at the last minutes of life. We want to be there because sometimes there's a change of heart.
Absolutely.
And
Yeah, that's great. So tell us about, because I would wonder, sort of like, what is the, like, a day in the life of? Like, when you think, if I go to the Baptist home, hopefully I got a few years before it gets to that point, I don't know. But if I go to the Baptist home, what do I get to do?
Okay. Well, a day in the life at Baptist Homes will depend a little bit on the level of care that you have. But the first thing is, you're going to wake up in the morning kind of when you want. You know, people sometimes think of nursing homes as this regulated schedule. No, you're going to wake up in the morning. The only difference is, unless you want to make your own coffee, it's going to be ready for you, and it will taste actually pretty good, okay? I value good coffee.
Do they have Waffle House at the Baptist Home? That's all I want to know.
There's the kind of the start of the day. You get to have coffee, some fellowship with your neighbors and friends. If you want to watch the morning news, you can. But around 10 o'clock in the morning, we'll have a devotion time where you can meet with the campus pastor. We'll lead in a time of a Bible study, prayer. Devotions are an important part of our campus offerings. And really is one of the distinctives. During COVID, many of us heard about the shutdowns in long-term care and the nursing homes. You know, nobody could come in. Well, nursing homes that depended on volunteer groups to provide the religious activities and the Sunday services, that didn't happen for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. And at Baptist Homes, we never missed a Sunday service. We never missed daily devotions. Mm-hmm. We were able to provide that because that's just a part of our DNA. One of the big things that I would say is mealtime's a special time, and I'm really excited about some developments that will be implemented starting this month and then through about April. Because, you know, as Baptists, we love food, but yes, I will say that we're going to have, you know, we want to set the standard of care. And one of the ways we do that is to make sure that the mealtime is a really special time. It's a sweet time. Whether you want to eat by yourself in your room or if you want to be with some of your friends, even if you want to have your family come in and join you, to make this a sweet time where you will be able to enjoy that fellowship that comes with a really good meal. Also, we have activities both on campus and outside of campus. And so, again, with our residents that are in really all levels of care, you know, we'll go to the mall. We'll go to places like Cabela or Bass Pro if they're nearby. You know, all of our campuses did things like Christmas lights. And we're even starting a new initiative that's called Sunday Drives. And on the month of your birthday, we're going to go on a Sunday drive with you and, you know, get a family member to come and talk about your favorite songs growing up, your favorite ball teams, some of your favorite places. But, you know, we're trying to create a very meaningful environment that is appropriate to your level of care. Mm-hmm. So it's really exciting to me. At the heart of each campus, though, is that campus pastor, because there are daily opportunities for Bible study, prayer, and spiritual maturation. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets me excited, because, frankly, many of our campuses are becoming houses of prayer that are impacting our world.
Hmm. That's beautiful. It really is. So it kind of leads in some ways, you might say this, the question's already been answered, but why is it important to have something like Baptist Homes that would have, you know, Christian influence, much less Baptist distinctives? Like, why would that be a big deal?
Well, as I love to share in the churches, we are, first of all, unapologetically Christian, and we're unashamedly Baptist. One of the federal requirements in care for anyone that's getting some level of nursing or assisted living care is we have to have something called a care plan. The care plan stipulates what we must be assessing in the health and well-being of an individual. What we add are components talking about spiritual maturation, development, and discipleship. So every resident's care plan has a component where we're asking, how are we growing in our Christ-likeness? That is a component of the care plan that is added at Baptist Homes. So, you know, I think that's a big part of it. You know, James 1:27 speaks of true religion as providing care for the widows and the orphans. And, you know, not to go into the theological depths of that, but where it says widows, understand that's not speaking only of women in the aging process. It is talking about caring for those who are at a season of life where they may need a little bit of extra care, much like a child is at a season of life where they are not able to be on their own. So understanding that, along with the understanding that you never outgrow Christ-likeness and the opportunity to fulfill our God-given purpose, I think makes Baptist Home a really unique environment.
That's great. I've had the privilege of speaking at some of the Baptist homes and have known, you know, several of the residents, and we've had folks connected to our church that have ended up at the Baptist homes. So tell me about like some of the residents, like some of the stories, because that really is kind of where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, with all of this.
You know, when I think about some of the residents that we've had, one of them was just recently, was a retired pastor. And was really concerned about just what do I do in this season of life? And during COVID, of course, there's all of these visitor restrictions, family can't come in, but healthcare workers could come into the building. And so we had a physical therapist there, and the physical therapist was sharing how COVID scared her, that what if she contracted COVID from one of her clients or patients? What if she brought it home to her two children? She was a single mother. And as she was sharing these fears, he started to share of the one who overcomes our fears, the one who loves us. And as he started to share the gospel with her, everything was really going well until the dementia kicked in a little bit and he could not remember the Roman road. I mean, he just couldn't remember it. It was like, okay, I know what I'm supposed to say now to help her to understand how to become a Christian, and it wasn't there. Mm. One of our staff members just stood by him and walked him through the Roman road, and together, using God's word, they led the physical therapist to Christ, who, before the shift was over, led another one of her colleagues to the Lord. And it was neat because that next Sunday, I happened to preach in the local Baptist church in that town, mm-hmm. and they were present. You know, so this is just one of those examples of what residents are doing. You know, kind of a lighthearted, we were cleaning out some old files recently, and we found a file filled with letters between one of our residents and Harry and Bess Truman. They were best friends. And they corresponded the whole time that they were in Baptist homes. And we believe that probably the Trumans came and visited them just based on some of the letters. Mm-hmm. But it's just such a precious, precious ministry. We've had seminary presidents who have been residents of Baptist homes, countless retired missionaries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a unique environment. I mean, think about, you know, kind of hanging out at lunch with some of these people. Mm-hmm. One of our residents right now, he was the riveter who riveted the very top of the stainless panels on the St. Louis Arch. He helped build Howard Hughes's massive airlines. We have interesting people, including moms who talk about how they cared for their children in very difficult times. It's a great place. And it's just an example of some, Baptist Homes is really for people like Psalm 71. We don't know who wrote it. Mm-hmm. That's what's interesting about that psalm. It's not like a Psalm of David that ascribes authorship. And I think that's because in many ways, it's our story. And this is an extension of how we serve the aging when they get to that season of life.
That's awesome. I probably need to go see if I could have an appointment with the guy that did the rivets and the St. Louis Arch. I hear there's a baseball team there. I don't know. So how does...
Time it just
right. That's right. Exactly. Anyway, so how does somebody... Because there's been a lot of, probably in the last several years, some misinformation about this. How does somebody go about becoming a resident at the Baptist homes? Because we all have relatives, and even some of us at some point, that may be a possibility. So how do you go about getting into the Baptist homes?
Well, I'm going to say the first place would be to start on the website. It's hard to believe, but most of those who are looking at coming into the Baptist homes are baby boomers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to believe, but that's really who it is. And so we have found that over 90% of our inquiries now come through the internet. They go online, and on the front page, on our home page of thebaptisthome.org, www.thebaptisthome.org, on the landing page, there's a more information link. You can also write or call any of our campuses, but that's probably the easiest way. I would say spend a little bit of time on our website. David and I, about 9 months ago, we spent a whole evening, this is a riveting way to spend your life, looking at nothing but long-term care websites.
Oh, great.
I mean, probably until well past midnight. That's what we were doing. And most of them, all they do is they try to get you interested, but they won't tell you what it costs, what it's like, what to do next. All they want to do is get you to call them. Mm-hmm. We post all that information online. You can look at the rates. You can look at the room layouts. You can find out more about our staff, who to call. And so I feel like we have a pretty good website. We're getting ready to update it even more. But that would be the starting place. Mm-hmm. The information is there.
Okay, very good.
And the one button says, help starts here.
I like it.
You know,
this is my kind of website.
Press that button, help starts here.
Yeah, good. Well, that's great. And then I'm sure that once that all gets started, then they have the opportunity to talk with somebody, which would be great, and then find out all the information as needed. So that's cool. Because I know we've had some involvement from some people in our church with the newest project, or one of the newest projects there at Smithville, tell us briefly about the Smithville thing. This is one of the coolest things ever, and then I'll get to the closing question.
You know, I would think that everybody in here has a tremendous love and respect and wants to honor our veterans.
Right.
I remember when I was trying to serve. I knew better than to go to the Marines, all right? I just wasn't that tough. But I went to the Navy and started going through it, and they said, no, you can't be a part of this because you've had an ulcer. And anyway, I talked to my doctor, and he said, oh, no, that was not a real ulcer like they're thinking about. So I tried to go to the Air Force, all right? And then they said, no, you can't do this. You have scoliosis. And so I was doing, mm-hmm. I wanted to serve. Mm-hmm. And so I've always had a tremendous respect for those who have served, mm-hmm. those who put their lives on the line for us. And that has, in my life, I mean, you know, in the parades when the veterans walk by, mm-hmm. man, they got the flags, and you know, I'm standing up, and if someone's around me who's not standing up, I'm chastising them, all right? It's like, these are our veterans, stand mm-hmm. up. But we have that love, but we also know from some of the stories of some of the ways that our veterans have not been adequately taken care of. We're seeing veterans' homes shutting down. Mm-hmm. We're seeing issues and problems. And so in Smithville, if you look at that facility, it's right across from the hospital. I think at one point that could handle, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but about 120 patients. And sometimes you go into these veterans' homes and they've got 3 patients in a room, all right? But what's going to happen in Smithville is that facility is going to have, in most of the rooms, there's going to be a bedroom, but the next room is going to be their living room. And they're going to have their own separate bathroom, mm-hmm. and they're going to have places where people can come and visit with them. And it is going to be like a little apartment. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let them cook there, you know, microwave, whatever.
Right, thing, but, sure.
But they will have that there. And so it's a way to honor mm-hmm. them, and it's a way to take care of them. And we'll have the staff that we'll only have, 45, maybe 45 mm-hmm. veterans there, and we're going to be able to take care of them very well.
So it's for veterans only,
the
basically?
The Smithville okay. is for veterans, okay? And there's this basement, and if any of you have ever been in there, it's a pretty big room. Mm-hmm. We're starting a church mm-hmm. for veterans, especially, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that only veterans
sure.
can come, but you know, if you've not heard Dr. Harrison talk about moral injury mm-hmm. and some of the PTSD situations that our veterans face, they have unique needs. And if we can have a church that understands and is suited mm-hmm. for them and have a chaplain there who's served, mm-hmm. you know, and who knows, and mm-hmm. our administrator there has been in combat. He mm-hmm. is, you know, mm-hmm. he understands these things. And we're putting that, we've had people coming in, tearing the place apart,
right?
And now we're starting
right.
to put it back together, and it is going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. But also in that building, there are offices where we're going to have probably our first hospice in Smithville.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
So that's how kind of I'm connected with that building mm-hmm. In the fact that we will have our hospice offices there mm-hmm. to reach this area here mm-hmm. With our hopefully our first hospice.
That's great. Final question.
Okay.
How can a church like ours help? Like, I know there are bound to be some challenges, but what are some practical things that we can do to be of help to the Ministry of Baptist Homes and Healthcare?
I would say that our two greatest needs right now this year have been our continued response with this thing called COVID. Some of you may have heard about it. It's been affecting us for a couple of years. And of course, the staffing component. One of the challenges we're wanting to provide to the churches, and that is to encourage our young people to go into healthcare careers mm. and to be able to work. Imagine the opportunity of combining a career with a calling. And we hope to provide that at our Baptist Homes campuses for mm-hmm. those that are interested in healthcare.
the projects that are being started, the new initiatives. Obviously, they're going to take much prayer. Pray that we'll have wise decisions. Of course, you know, a lot of financial implications of those, but more than anything, it would be praying for our workers, and then pray for our caregivers. You know, it's been a tough couple of years.
Yes.
And unless you are in healthcare, it's almost hard to imagine how many changes had to come about during COVID. Again, what a great opportunity. Baptist Homes never had to stop spiritual care. We never kept our residents away from communicating with their local church through our chaplains and through our worship services on campus. But there is a toll there. So that would be my thought. And then David, what would you say?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times when we talk about what you can do for us, I want to focus on what we can do for you.
Yeah.
All right? This is, not only can we provide services for the aging and hospice and different things like that, but we, if you haven't heard, we have a healthcare crisis going on right now. All right? When I'm doing rounding at KU Med, I talk to the nurses, and they're tired, all right? They're putting in way more hours than they should. They're taking care of way more people than what what's normal. And why do they do it? Because they have a love of nursing. They want to take care of people. But it's becoming harder and harder for them. And we've got, right now, a lot of our nurses and a few doctors, but a lot of nurses that just, they are burned out. They have said, I've got to take a break. They've walked away. They've retired early, and which adds to the healthcare issues. And we also have schools who are not getting as many, I mean, if they can handle 100 new nursing students a year, for a year, they're not getting their full quotas. Young people are not going into it. And so we've got this healthcare crisis. Well, at Baptist Homes, what I like is the fact that we're going to be able to offer these part-time positions where some of our nurses, even right here in our church, who've maybe retired, but they're thinking, you know what, I'm enjoying retirement, but I miss nursing. We have opportunities that they can actually get back in and take the calling that God has put on their life in the medical field, and also the calling that God has given them to ministry, and they can put those together in a organization, Baptist Homes and Baptist Homes Hospice, where that is encouraged. We are encouraging them to use their ministry that way. So we can do that for, and you know, we can get a lot of nursing, and they can take care of people and all, but we also, honestly, Ken, when I've pastored, and I've had people come to me who've got gifts and talents and abilities that just don't have a spot, like we need Sunday school teachers, we need, you know, we need these kind of things in the church, but they have abilities to do ministry far beyond what we have right in the building. And so a lot of these things, we have to have volunteers. 5% of our hours have to be done by volunteers. And some people say, oh, I can't go into those homes and do that kind of stuff. You don't have to. We have so many different things that you can do in order to help people during this hospice time. We can share all that with you. But we can be another layer where our church here, First Kearney, can partner with this to give our people, you, opportunities to serve in an area where your skill set may be just perfectly suited for that. So we can do that. And then, of course, any time that you do these type of things, it helps us. Can I just tell one story? I don't even want to look at my watch yet, or the clock. I want to tell you this one story. One of our nurses here, I don't have permission to share this, so I'm not going to tell you the name, but I went up and I was talking with them, and I was asking them if they knew anyone, because we need some hospice administrators, and we need directors of nursing right now, who have hospice experience in order to get going. And I was asking, do you know anybody? And wow, their face lit up and they're going, I'm not qualified to do that, but I've always thought I could do this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, we need that. Mm-hmm. We absolutely need that. And so right now, if you know, if you are a nurse and you want to be involved in Baptist Homes, if you are an administrator and you've had hospice experience, please let me know. Or if you are in the medical field somewhere and you know someone who's got 2 years of hospice experience and who would be a good administrator or director mm-hmm. of nursing, man, I want to be talking to you. But these are things, it doesn't matter who you are, what's going on in your life, there's ways that you can serve mm-hmm. the aged. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just take Matthew 28 and the Great Commission, mm-hmm. all right? And it's not about all coming.
Right. Now,
hospice is not a church, mm-hmm. but we are Baptist. Mm-hmm. We are under mm-hmm. the umbrella of sure. the Missouri Baptist Convention, and we are ministry. And so, therefore, we can go mm-hmm. and we can be evangelistic. But I also think just chapter 25, when he's talking about the sheep and the goats during mm-hmm. judgment, and, you know, and he's talking to the sheep, and he said, you know, you fed me. Are you mm-hmm. when did we see you, Lord? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or mm-hmm. or sick or in prison? And it says, when you've done it to the least of these, mm-hmm. you've done it to me.
Right.
And so what Baptist Homes does provide, and a lot of ministries do this, but we provide a way that our people can literally take care of the sick, mm-hmm. help feed, mm-hmm. help clothe. And we stand there in judgment, and we're in the line of the sheep, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is saying, well done, good and faithful mm-hmm. servant.
That's cool. When we finish, you guys will be around here at the front in case anybody has some questions or they want to, you know, just kind of touch base with you. Would you guys join me in thanking these guys for coming out today and sharing with us? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.